Blog Talk Radio.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God is worshipped in truth other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sin. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Continuing with the aqidah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah, we are with his statement in brief. Our position is, we acknowledge belief in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, what has come from Allah and what has been related by the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't deny any of that. Last week, we were with the first part of this statement, that we acknowledge our belief in Allah and His angels, and now we're on to our belief in His books, the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned in many verses in the Quran that which will establish for us our belief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's books or His revelations, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 136. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَصْبَاطَ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says, I command you, in the plural, I command you, all of you, to believe in Allah, to say, I believe in Allah, and that which was revealed to us, and that which was revealed to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Ya'qub, and the asbath or the descendants of Yaqub, and that which was revealed to Musa and Isa, and that which was given to the prophets from their Lord. We don't distinguish between any of them, any of the prophets, and we'll explain that inshallah when we get to it. And we are Muslims to him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we have willingly submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we had read the beginning part of this verse, as he commands us to say, I believe, we believe in Allah, and we believe in that which was revealed to us, and that which was revealed to Ibrahim and the other prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in this verse. So we see that Allah has commanded us in this verse to say, we believe in that which was revealed to us, and we believe in that which was revealed to the prophets from their Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have mentioned both of these verses last week with the statement of our belief in Allah, and now we're using these two verses for our belief in the books of Allah, and it's verse number 84, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قل آم of Surah Al-Ali Imran, قل آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأصباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى والنبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. I command you to say, I believe in Allah and that which was revealed to us, and that which was revealed to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub wal Asbath, and that which was given to Musa and Isa and the prophets from their Lord. We don't make any distinction between any of them, and we are Muslims to him, to Allah, and we have willingly submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed this verse, which is basically saying the same thing in the Qur'an twice. And we always mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this Qur'an short, and that if he chose to repeat something in the Qur'an, though this book is short, is showing the importance of that thing, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the importance of our belief in Allah, and belief in what was revealed to us from the Qur'an, and belief in that which was sent to all of the prophets from their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 136, to believe in that which was revealed from the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the scriptures, as he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasulihi wal kitabi alladhi nazzala ala rasulihi والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, I command you to believe in Allah, His Messenger, the books that were revealed, the book that was revealed to His Messenger, the books that were revealed before him, and whoever disbelieves in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, and the last day, then indeed he has gone far astray. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands those people who believe to believe in Allah and to believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and that which was sent down before it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this verse is commanding those who believe to believe and Allah, to believe in His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to believe in the books that Allah had revealed to His prophets. And we had mentioned last week when we mentioned this verse that though we are among those who believe, inshallah ta'ala, that Allah commands us to believe, and we are among those who believe, meaning to increase your belief in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding you to believe in. So if you say that you believe in the Quran, and you believe in those books that were revealed to the prophets from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after you hear this verse, you should increase your belief and be more certain of your belief in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to believe in, from belief in Allah and His Messenger and His book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us also in Surah Ash-Shura, verse number 15, And this is one of only two verses like it in the Quran. Where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us, فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُوا
وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ اللَّهُ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ لَا حُجَّةَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ اللَّهُ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ. This verse is only two verses like this in the Quran, and this is this verse in Ayatul Kursi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 10 phrases in each one of these two verses. And each phrase establishing a point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to mention, as Allah mentions in this verse.
So to that I command you to make the da'wah.
And that's referring to the statement, La ilaha illallah. And to be upright as you have been commanded. And don't follow their vain desires. Those people have gone astray or have disbelieved. And I command you to say, I believe in that which Allah has revealed of His books. And this is the point that we wanted to establish. As Allah has commanded us to say, I believe in that which was revealed of the books, that which Allah has revealed from His scriptures or from His books. And also to say, and I have been commanded to do justice between you. Allah is our Lord and your Lord. For us is our deeds and for you is your deeds. There is no dispute between us and between you. Meaning after the proof has been laid out and everything is clear between us and the kuffar, then there's no dispute afterwards. Allah will gather all of us together. And to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our abode. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He establishes 10 sentences or phrases for us, and among those is to make the statement that we believe in that which Allah has revealed from His scriptures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also commands us, and we had mentioned this verse also last week from Surah At-Taghabun, to believe in that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed, as He says, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. I command you to believe on Allah and His Messenger and the Nur which we have revealed. And the Nur is the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, and I'm trying to bring quite a few of these verses so that we can memorize that which is easy for us to establish our belief and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has us to believe in, as He says, لَقَدْ in verse number 25 of Surah Al-Hadid, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطُ. Allah says, indeed we have sent our messengers with clear proof, and we have revealed to them the book to each of the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to them, books and the mizan, or the scales of justice, so that they could use this to be just or to judge among humanity. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that He had revealed His books to His messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is what we believe in. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ghafir, verse number 70, is establishing the opposite of what we have been establishing from our belief in the books. If I could say that, and after the verse I'll try to make it clear. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rather in verse 69 and 70 of Surah Al-Ghafir, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ أَنَّا يُصْرَفُونَ. الذين كذبوا بالكتاب وبما أرسلنا به رسلنا فسوف يعلمون. To the end of those verses, and whoever reads it can see the context of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as He says, don't you see those people who argue or debate concerning the verses of Allah? How are they turned away? They are those who disbelieve in the book, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which we have sent our messengers with, and they will soon see. They will soon see what will happen to them for their disbelief in that and the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which He has sent His prophets and messengers with, as Allah goes on to say, إِذِ الْأَغْلَالُ فِي عَنَاقِهِمْ وَالسَّلَاسِلُ يُسْحَبُونَ. And they will have chains on their necks as they will be dragged, of course, into the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His safety. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing, the opposite, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established for us our belief in the books that were revealed, Allah also shows us the other side of not believing in the books. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran often shows both sides. And they used to say as a phrase, that by knowing the other side of the story, it makes the first side of it clear, or something like that. If you know the opposite of something, then it makes the thing that you know more clearer. If you have known, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in His Quran often, if you know the tawheed or the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once you begin to know what shirk is, or ascribing or associating partners with Allah, your tawheed will become clearer. Once you learn what is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you start to know the bid'ah or the innovations in the deen, then the sunnah will become clearer to you. Once you know that which is halal for you, then you become to learn that which is haram, the halal is clearer for you, and so on and so forth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes this for us in the Quran. If you know the path to Jannah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you the path to the hellfire, then the path to Jannah becomes even clearer. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the path of belief and that which was revealed to us, that which was revealed to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as guidance, Allah shows the other side of disbelief in them and what will be the abode of the people who disbelieve in them. Then this would, inshallah, make it clearer for us our belief and that which Allah has revealed, and also to increase us in the certainty of believing and that which Allah has sent His prophets and messengers with to humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent these books, this revelation, to humanity as guidance, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes for us in the first three ayats, where the first four ayahs of Surah Al-Ali Imran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, nazzala alayka al-kitaba bil-haqqi musaddiqan lima bayna yadayhi wa anzala at-tawrata wal-injil min qablu hudan lin-nasi wa anzala al-furqan. إن الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from the beginning of Ali Imran, Allah, no deity has the right to be worshipped other than Him. He is al-Hayyul Qayyum, or the ever-living and the self-subsisting. He has sent down the book in truth to confirm that which came before it, and He revealed the Torah and the Injil. And the Torah is that which was revealed to Musa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Injil is that which was sent to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. We sent this before as guidance to humanity, and we revealed the Furqan. We sent this, the Torah and the Injil, before this, before the Furqan, as guidance for humanity. And here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the purpose of sending His books to His prophets as guidance for humanity. And He has revealed, and we have revealed the Furqan. Indeed, those who disbelieve in the ayats of Allah, for them is a painful punishment. And Allah is Aziz when He takes His revenge. And Allah is Aziz or mighty when He takes His revenge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also shows us in in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 44, that these books were revealed as guidance for humanity and as light, and by and that which we should judge by, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Inna anzalna at-tawrata fiha hudan wa nur. Indeed, we have revealed the Torah, the book, the scripture to Musa, and in it was guidance and light. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that in the revelation that He has sent to His prophets and His messengers, that that revelation was for guidance to humanity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in general, mentioning the Torah, the Injil, and the Quran. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just mentioning the Torah, showing that this is guidance for humanity. Also, these books are not only for guidance for humanity, but that these books confirm one another. That which Allah has sent one prophet with, and that which He has sent another prophet with, they confirm each other, or they're saying the same message, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here in the same Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 46, وَقَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بِعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ مصدقا لما بين يديه من التوراة وآتيناه الإنجيل فيه هدى ونور ومصدقا لما بين يديه من التوراة وهدى وموعظة للمتقين. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have sent in their footsteps Isa ibn Maryam to confirm that which was sent before from the Torah. And we have given him the Injil, and in it is guidance and light. And it is confirms that which came before from the Torah, and it is guidance and an exhortation for those who have taqwa, or those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those who do what their Lord commands them and stay away from that which their Lord prohibits them. And this is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning twice in this verse that the scriptures are a confirmation of that which comes before. That every time Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent another prophet or messenger to humanity with revelation, that He sent them with revelation that would confirm that which came before. And we also see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned twice in this verse that He has sent this revelation as guidance. Yes. I don't know. The brother asked, how does Bani Israel fit into the Injil?
I was told in one of the classes that actually that was revealed to him.
That what was revealed? The word Bani Israel means the children of Israel. Bani Israel is, in English, the children of Israel. Yeah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing twice in this same verse that the scriptures, they confirm, or Allah's books, they confirm one another. Meaning they all come with the purpose of calling humanity to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, as we're going to cover the statement of all of the prophets and messengers, that they came with the message from their Lord, Ya qawmi abudu Allah, ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. O my people, I command you to worship Allah. No deity, no God, no object of worship has the right to be worshipped but Him. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent His books as guidance for humanity. They confirm one another, meaning the message that is brought by each prophet in the book that he came with, or each messenger, the book that they came with, has the basic message of worship your Lord. No one has the right to be worshipped other than Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also shows us, and we're going to back up to verse number 44, and to complete it, that not only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these books and commanded us to believe in these books, and that He sent His prophets and messengers with these books, and that they're guidance for humanity, and that they confirm one another with the message that they bring, but that these books are to be used as judges in our lives, or these books are to be worked by, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. And I'm continuing this verse. Inna anzalna at-Tawrat fiha hudan wa nur yahkumu biha an-nabiyyun alladhina aslamu lilladhina hadu war-rabbaniyyun wal-ahbath. The end of that verse, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, after He said, indeed we have sent down the Torah, and it is guidance and a light, so that the prophets who have submitted willingly to their Lord, who have embraced Islam, will judge by it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that the prophets had these scriptures, these books, so that they can judge by it, so that they can know that which is tawheed from that which is shirk, that which is permissible from that which is haram, that which is good from that which is bad, that which will lead them to Jannah and that which will lead them to the hellfire, so that they can know what to do and what not to do. And this is what is meant by, inshallah, to judge by these books. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these three verses, 44, 45, and 47 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and these are the three verses, whoever does not judge by that which Allah has revealed, by His books, by His scriptures, then those, they are the disbelievers. And in the next verse, and whoever does not judge by that which Allah has revealed, His books, His scriptures, then those, they are the wrongdoers. And in the last verse, and whoever does not judge by that which Allah has revealed, then those, they are the fasiqoon, are those who are outside of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is using three different words, kafirun, zalimun, and fasiqun, for those people who do not judge by Allah's book. Either they're disbelievers, or they're outside of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they're just wrongdoers. Those people who just straight up disbelieve in the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the disbelievers, if you tell them, like if you go to the Christians and you tell them, you should let your women, like we're telling the Jehovah Witnesses, you should dress like Allah tells you to in the Quran. They say, we don't believe in the Quran. Those people who don't judge by the book, like this type of just leaving off that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and not using it as a judge, those people are kafirs. And anyone who just outright disbelieves in the verdict of Allah and does not judge by it is a kafir. Then you have the type of people who do not judge by the book of Allah, but they are the fasiqun. These people, they know better. They know that they're supposed to judge by the book of Allah, like some of these criminal Muslim governments, and then they just outright choose or feel that they can just say, okay, we're going to do this way because of our circumstances, because of the time we live in, or what have you, or we feel it's better for our people to judge like this. These people know that they're supposed to judge by the book of Allah. They say that they're Muslims, and then they judge by other than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people, inshallah, they believe in the book of Allah, and they believe that we are supposed to judge by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in their arrogance and in their sin and in their disobedience to their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, they just downright judge by other than the book of Allah. And these people are different from the first group, as the first group are just the straight up disbelievers, as they just disbelieve in it altogether, and that's why they're not working by it. The second group of people, they believe in it, but they just gonna judge by whatever they want to, as they follow their own desires into destruction. These people are Muslims. And they're not disbelievers, they're not kafirs, they're just Muslims who are sinning with the biggest sin or among the biggest sins that anyone could commit by judging by other than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the fasiqoon. In the last verse, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala calls the people wrongdoers. And this is the category that we fall into in general. That we know we believe in Allah, we believe in that which Allah has revealed to us from His books, and we know that we're supposed to judge by them, and we hear and we learn the judgments and the verdicts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we do opposite to it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, for example, and I was just mentioning this example the other day, Masjid Ikhwa, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. And I command you to give out of that which we have provided you with before death comes. We know Allah commands us to give out of that which Allah has provided us with wealth, and then we see the poor and the needy and we don't give. We come to the masjid and we use the lights and the water and the facilities and come to the lessons, and then we don't give. We don't give out of the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us for. We're not a kafir, we believe in it. We're not a fasiq, meaning, inshallah, that we say, yeah, I know Allah commands me to give, but I don't care because I don't want to give. But it's just out of our weakness and our greediness and stinginess that we just disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're not actually trying to judge by other than the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We're just, as we call it, a little sin. We're just doing a little disobedience. And these are the three categories of the people who don't work or don't judge by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I wanted to make this clear, as we shouldn't see everyone who does not judge by the book of Allah as a kafir. As some of the people are quick to do when they see that the Muslim government don't judge by the book of Allah. They say, for example, that government is a kafir. The president from that country is a kafir. Why is he a kafir? Because he doesn't judge by the book of Allah, and whoever doesn't judge by the book of Allah is a kafir, and his mustache is covering his lip. His mustache is covering his lip, and we know that the Prophet ﷺ had commanded us to trim the hair off of our lips from our mustaches. So here he is, mustache all over his lip, talking about such and such is a kafir, president of the country, because he doesn't judge by the book of Allah. Or as the other example that I was mentioning the other day, the brothers coming in with a suit and a tie on, clean shaven, saying, for me to prevent someone from coming into the masjid because they haven't accepted Islam yet. Here you are, judging by other than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worrying about somebody else who are judging by other than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that there's levels of judging by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just downright out disbelieve in it, then these are the people who are the kafirs. And none of the Muslims fall into this category, inshallah ta'ala. And this is what we should be aware of when Muslims say, as some of those Muslims of deviance say, that Musa that didn't split the Red Sea, for example, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala informs us in the Quran, but they say it was some type of simile or metaphorical whatever that they show, and it really means whatever they say it means. And then we say, see, they kafirs, akhi. They disbelieve in the verse of the Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that Musa split the sea, they don't believe in it, they're kafirs. No, it's not that they don't believe in the verse, because if you ask them, do you believe in that verse, he'll say, yeah, it just means so-and-so. And that this type of not judging by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't straight up kufr, and most of us, with our mistakes and with our ignorance, inshallah ta'ala, that we just fall into the category of the zalimun, or the wrongdoers, or those who are oppressing themselves by not following the truth, and not that we are in denial of judging by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or not that we feel that we just have a choice, I could do whatever I want to do, though Allah commands me to judge by His book, but that we are just because of our ignorance and our mistakes, oppressing ourselves, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 106, and this is changing the subject a little bit, after we said that Allah has commanded us to believe in His revelations and His scriptures and His books, and commanded us to say that we believe in it, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent these books as guidance to humanity, and these books, they confirm one another, and that these books are the books that we should be judged by, that we should judge by. Then after that, we want to go to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, from which we are quoting in specific, and to look at some of the aspects of the Quran itself, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 106, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah does not abrogate a verse except that He brings one better than it or one like it. And don't you know that Allah is Qadir over all things, or that Allah has the power to do all things? Here we see that one of the characteristics of the Quran is that it abrogates itself as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. If Allah tabarak wa ta'ala chooses to abrogate a verse, not to make that recitation any longer, or to remove the verdict from a particular verse, or to remove both the verse itself and the verdict from the verse, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qadir, or He has the power, or He is able to do whatever He likes. And we have mentioned before that these verses in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abrogated aren't really more than seven verses. That they aren't really more than seven verses agreed upon. So it isn't as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just abrogating many of the verses in the Quran as if He sent this Quran in vain. That every time you read a verse, you're questioning, well, is that abrogated or not? But that the issue is, whenever you hear the verses of the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you can feel safe, basically, that when you hear it, you should be among those who say, we hear and we obey, and not among those who say, we hear and we disobey, by saying, well, I'm not going to work by that until I see if it's abrogated or not. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala hasn't abrogated those that many verses for anyone to take this approach of the disbelievers from among the Jews who say, we hear and we disobey. And this is an excuse of some of the sinners among the Muslims, that they just say, I ain't working by that yet, because it might be abrogated, so I'm going to check it out and wait. And then when you tell him it's not abrogated, he tells you don't know any better. These are the people who follow their own desires. At any rate, this is one of the characteristics of the Quran, is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has abrogated some of His verses, and He brought verses that were better than them, or verses that were equivalent to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, among the characteristics of the Quran, is that it is preserved and it is intact, and it will be that way until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, or the day of resurrection, as Allah tells us in Surah Al-Hajr, verse number 9, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we are the ones who sent down this dhikr, or this revelation, and we are the ones who will preserve it. And we are its guardians. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that among the characteristics of this book, in particular the Quran, is that He has preserved it intact, just the way it was revealed to His messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This characteristic of the Quran, yes.
Getting back to the class, a question was put to me, I couldn't ask it, I couldn't find out. So what if a person never heard of the law or Islam, are they considered a Catholic?
The brother said, what about the person who never heard of Islam? We don't know anyone who has never heard of Islam.
Okay.
We don't know of anyone who has never heard of Islam. And anyone who can claim that he can bring me someone who hasn't heard of Islam, go ahead. Because he'll hear it when he's brought. So there's no one, and nobody should even allow some of the disbelievers with their shaitanic plotting to even let us entertain what about the person who has never heard of Islam. That's just one of the plots of the shaitan, just to try to lead us astray or keep us from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody's heard of it, and especially you, who said, what about someone who's never heard of it? So those people who say, what about the one who has never heard of it, say, well, what about you? You heard of it, why don't you believe in it? So we shouldn't even entertain that about those people. At any rate, this characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he will preserve this book, this revelation, this is especially the characteristic of the Quran as opposed to the books that came before it, and that this is the miracle of the Quran. And that, alhamdulillah, no one denies this verse in the Quran. Believer or disbeliever, they don't deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed his seal of guardianship over top of this book and has preserved it intact to Yawm al-Qiyamah. And even some of the brothers had told us that in Nigeria, the Jews try to print a copy of the Quran and they put a few small mistakes in it. And then they try to spread it around to the people. And alhamdulillah, those people who were the hafiz of the Quran, who have memorized the Quran, they have pointed those mistakes out at the Quran schools. Wait a minute. Where you get this Quran from? It has this verse is wrong, this verse is wrong, that verse is wrong, this verse is wrong. No one can change that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guarded. So there's no tampering with the Quran to Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is the truth. And this is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يَبَتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever desires a deen other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him. And in the hereafter, he'll be among the losers. As this book is going to be here in its exact perfect form until Yawm al-Qiyamah, walhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and this is also one of the characteristics of this book, or something about this book, is that we are to give the da'wah to the disbelievers by using this book. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, in the first verses, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim Sad. كتاب أنزل إليك فلا يكون في صدرك حرج منه لتنذر به وذكرى للمؤمنين اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this surah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim Sad, a book that was revealed to you, so don't have any difficulty in your chest from this book. And use it to warn. And it is a reminder for the believers, I command you to follow that which was revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow anything besides it. But most of the people won't be reminded of this fact. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, don't have any difficulty in your chest from using this book to warn the people. When you go to call the people to La ilaha illallah, use the verses from the Quran. When they say, I don't believe in it, just continue to say, your Lord said such and such. Your Lord said such and such. Your Lord said in the Quran such and such. But I don't believe in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran such and such. Allah says in the Quran such and such. I told you I don't believe in that book. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَبَتَغْ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever desires a deen other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter, he'll be among the losers. Or you can quote this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, verse number 21, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ, all the way down to فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Indeed, those people who disbelieve in the verses of Allah, give them glad tidings of a painful chastisement. And this is what I was telling just years back when we were studying in Medina, one of the approaches to give da'wah. One of our teachers said, you can't go back and quote the Quran to a people who don't believe in the Quran. I said, Allah told me, don't find any difficulty in my chest from using this to call the people. So we're going to use it. He said, but suppose they just keep telling you, I don't believe in it. You say, well, I'll give you glad tidings of a painful chastisement. This is what we tell the people who want to persist on, I don't believe in it. Because it's upon us to make the disbelievers listen to the words of their Lord. Because you want to call them to the truth, and what better words can you use than the words of your Lord? And as we began with the Prophet's statement, وَإِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, and the most truthful of speech is the book of Allah. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, and who is more truthful in speech than Allah, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about himself. And who is more truthful in speech than Allah, that the Quran has the finest arguments for any type of kufr on this planet now to the day of resurrection. And that no one should feel that this new vibe of this Afrocentric thing, that we need some special type of sciences to give them brothers da'wah. What's in this Quran addresses all types of kufr. And that their kufr is the same type of kufr that everybody else had, that they worship other than Allah as they worship their own nationalism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in another verse, Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 30, to call the people by this Quran, to give the people the da'wah to Islam by means of using this Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, كَذَلِكَ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ فِي أُمَّةٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا أُمَمٍ لِتَتْلُوَ عَلَيْهِمُ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ مَتَابٌ. And like that we have sent you to a nation upon which nations before it has passed, to recite to them that which we have sent his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to recite that which was revealed to him, this Quran, and Allah informed them, وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ, and they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. Allah told the Prophet ﷺ to recite this to them, and they disbelieve in it. And this is the same way we're going to bring our da'wah to the disbelieving people. We're going to quote the Quran to them, and we already know they disbelieve in it. That's why we're quoting it to them, because we want them to believe in it. We know they don't disbelieve. We know they disbelieve in it. That's why we're quoting it to them, to show them the truth of it and the proof of it. And I just want to say that live. Because this truth and this proof is that which could guide them to Islam, or it will, either they will reject it and lead them to the hellfire. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, commands us afterwards, and I command you to say, He is my Lord, Ar-Rahman, the one you disbelieve in, the one who has revealed this book to us, the Quran. He is my Lord. No Lord, no God, no deity has the right to be worshipped other than Him. No one is worshipped in truth other than Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I rely on Him, I depend on Him, and to Him I repent. And this is what we have to say to the disbelievers, as I told that disbelieving lady just this morning, or was that yesterday? I was walking, and she said, from the motor vehicle here, that book in your hand, it looks like one of our books. And she held up the Awake magazine, an older lady. I said, no, this is a book of truth. And it's not one of your books. She said, no, I didn't say it was one of our books. I said, it looks like one of our books. And I said, you can't judge a book by its cover all the time. This is the book of truth. She said, I thought it was. But she tried to say, but, and then she tried to go into her da'wah, and I stopped her. I said, Miss, I don't want to be rude to you, but if you don't accept this book, you're going to burn in the blazing hellfire forever when you die. When your Lord raises you back to life after you have been buried in the ground, He's going to call you to account for what you've been doing in this world. And He's going to call you to the account for judging by this book. And if you don't judge by this book and believe in this book, you're going to burn in hell eternally. She said there's no such thing as burning eternally. We know that every fire is always put out. And I said, you say the same type of statements that the people have disbelieved before you. The warning has come. I give you glad tidings of a painful chastisement. And I kept on walking while she's still trying to give me her da'wah. We don't have to listen to the da'wah of the disbelieving people. We're the ones giving the da'wah. We're the people who have the truth. And no one has any right except to listen to us. Whenever we speak, you have no other right except to listen to us. Wallahi, Allah has created disbelievers and believers. And Allah has made it incumbent upon all of humanity to believe. So when the believers speak, all of humanity has to be quiet. Everybody has to shut up and listen because we have the truth. And we have to feel like we have the truth. And this is the acknowledgement of our belief in this revelation, that it's the truth. We don't have to sit around and listen to those disbelievers call us to the kufr that we already know so as to be polite before we can give them our message. No. Listen. Before you bring that kufr, just listen to this. No, I don't want to listen to it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't believe in Islam, you don't believe in your Lord, you're going to the hellfire. Wait, well, let me just walk away. We don't have to tolerate listening to kufr. You don't think that those people won't convince you and bring you off of your guidance to disbelief? And this was the way of the people of deviants who came before us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in Surah An-Nisa. Ali Imran. Man, I forgot that verse. Anyone can remember where that verse is? That is saying that those, the Jews, what they used to say is, oh, here it is. Verse number 72 from Surah Ali Imran. وقال طائفة من أهل الكتاب آمنوا بالذي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار واكفروا آخره لعلهم يرجعون. And there is a party from among the people of the book, from the Jews and the Christians, who say, I command you, to the rest of humanity, I command you to believe in that which was revealed to those people who believe, because they know we're the believers. And they tell the people, yeah, in the early part of the day, believe in those people, what was revealed to them. And at the end, disbelieve, at the end of the day, disbelieve, so that perchance some of them will disbelieve with you. And that this is the tricks of the people who have disbelieved. They try to bring their little rat with us, as if they're with us. They get us enough to listen to them, so that they can bring us back. Don't we know that Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَلَنْ يَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ in Surah Al-Baqarah, that the Jews and the Christians will never be satisfied with you, will never be pleased with you until you follow their religion. Every time they come to you, if they're not listening, they're trying to get you to follow their religion. And if you know that, why are you going to listen to it? Somebody going to call you to the hellfire, you're going to sit there and say, okay. We have to call the people to the truth, and we have to use this Qur'an, and this is one of the purposes that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala have revealed this Qur'an, to call the rest of the humanity to the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, to the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala backing off the Quran a little bit. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent revelation or his books to many prophets. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 163, Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuhin wa nabiyyina min ba'dih. وأوحينا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وعيسى وأيوب ويونس وهارون وسليمان وآتينا داود زبورا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have revealed to you. Here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is talking about his books and his revelation that he has revealed to his prophets, and he, as he says, and we have revealed to you, referring to his last prophet and messenger, Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as we have revealed to Nuh and those prophets that came after him. We have revealed to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, at the Asbab, to Isa, Ayyub, Yunus, Harun, Sulaiman, and we have given Dawood the Zubur. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he has revealed to all of these prophets and messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has revealed his books to those who he has chosen to reveal his books to. He has revealed his revelation to those from among his prophets and his messengers that he has chosen to reveal what he has revealed to them. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has told us, as we have seen already, that he has sent the Quran, as he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 185 or so, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan is the month which we have revealed the Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among the books that he has revealed by name, is the Quran, and this is the book that we have. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has also sent the Torah and the Injil, the Torah to Musa and the Injil to Isa, as we have mentioned those verses already, and as we've seen in this verse in Surah An-Nisa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Zabur to Dawood. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent the Suhuf to Ibrahim and Musa, as he says in Surah A'la, those last two verses, هَذَا إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي صُحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. Indeed, these are the صُحُفُ الْأُولَى, or among the first or the earlier scriptures, the صُحُف of Ibrahim and Musa. So here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is naming those scriptures that he has sent to Ibrahim and to Musa, the Suhuf, just as he has named the Zabur that he sent to Dawood, and the Injil to Isa, and the Torah to Musa, and the Quran to Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this is in general our explanation or clarification of the statement of the Shaykh, his books. As he started off, in brief, our position is we acknowledge belief in Allah, his angels, his books, meaning we acknowledge our belief in Allah, we acknowledge our belief in his angels, we acknowledge our belief in his books, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just established for us in these many verses in the Quran. His messengers, and we acknowledge our belief in his messengers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his Quran in many verses establishes for us our belief in his messengers. Just as the last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, كُلٌ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. All of them among the believers, they believe in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that the believers, they believe in the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 213, that he has sent prophets and messengers to humanity. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the first verse informs us that the believers believe and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He has sent these prophets and messengers to humanity, as He says, تبارك وتعالى كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه. To the end of that verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and humanity was one community, or humanity was one nation, meaning humanity was all on La ilaha illallah until shirk crept up into humanity. Then Allah sent His prophets as warners and givers of glad tidings, and He revealed books to them so that they can judge in truth that which the people differed in. As some of the people think that kufr is the way to go, and others think that iman is the way to go, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down His scriptures to prove to us that iman is the path that we should be traveling down and not the path of kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes for us in verses 150 to 152 in Surah An-Nisa, our belief in the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا وَاعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ أُولَئِكَ سَوْفَ يُؤْتِيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَّحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is showing us the flip side of the story in order to make the first side of the story clearer to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers, and they want to distinguish between Allah and His messengers, and here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is showing what is meant by differentiating between the prophets and messengers, or distinguishing between the prophets and the messengers, as He says, and they say, we believe in some of them and we disbelieve in others of them, and they want to take a path in between. Those, they are the true kafirs. They are the true disbelievers, and Allah has prepared for the kafirin a humiliating punishment. And those who believe in Allah and His Messenger and don't distinguish between any of them, meaning don't believe in some of them and disbelieve in others of them, we will soon give them their reward, and Allah is Ghafur Rahim, or forgiving and merciful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this verse is establishing for us our belief and His messengers, and also showing us the flip side of disbelief in the messengers, that the true disbelievers are the ones who disbelieve in the messengers of Allah. And this is to make it clear that the Jews of today who have heard of Islam, and the Christians today who have heard of Islam, and I don't think there's a Jew or a Christian except that they've heard of Islam, that they're disbelievers if they haven't believed in Islam. Not only are they disbelievers, as some people are debating, are the Jews and Christians believers or not? It's not even a question, are they disbelievers? Believers or not, they're true disbelievers. Because they want to distinguish between Allah's prophets. That means they want to believe in some and disbelieve in others. As they say, the Christians say, yeah, we believe in Musa and Isa. But Muhammad, I don't know, we don't want to believe in that. I don't know about that. That's okay, let me tell you. Allah tells us in the Quran, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. How are you going to say you don't know about it? I just told you, your Lord told you, Muhammad Rasulullah. How are you going to say, I don't know? Allah has just informed you that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Why won't you believe? Because you are a true disbeliever. And the same thing if the Jews, they reject Isa, and the Christians calling them to Isa, accept Isa, accept Isa, and they disbelieve. Why they disbelieve? Because they're true disbelievers. They want to believe in some of the prophets, and disbelieve in others as if they can take a path in between that. Oh, I don't know about Muhammad. I'm not saying he's not a prophet or a messenger. I'm just saying I believe in Jesus, and I think that's sufficient for me. No, it's not sufficient for you. You lying on your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has never made that sufficient for you after he has sent his last prophet and messenger to Islam, to humanity, with the final and complete deen, al-Islam. After this, you don't have the choice to say, oh, I'm going to stick right here and I'm going to wait till judgment day. If you're waiting, we're waiting too. And we will.
Bismillah, and alhamdulillah, and alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salat wa salam ala Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi alayhi wa sallam, amma ba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for gathering us on this beautiful evening of Yom Jumu'ah. We want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to discuss the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to protect and preserve and guide our da'is, our students of knowledge, who bring us beneficial information. So, first and foremost, I want to say to everyone that's listening to me that I have the new book out, the Dua book. I have one for each and every one of you. Some kind of way we'll work it out, and I'll get it to you. It's a Eid gift for me and my family to you, inshallah ta'ala. We'll make arrangements for that. Also, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, which would be about July 3rd, if I'm not mistaken, I'm having an iftar. Everyone is invited. I haven't found the exact location yet. It's going to be a venue, a small one, maybe a small hall or barbershop, something I can rent out, you know, something of that nature. Inshallah ta'ala, but I'll let you know. So, we begin tonight. First and foremost, let me just let you know, I just got a beautiful book from one of our sheikhs, by Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, and he talks about the fiqh of fasting of the month of Ramadan. It's a workbook. We're going to be going over this with the other book, Sheikh Nasser's book on Qiyam and Tawiyah. This handles a lot of fiqh issues when it comes to Ramadan. Very beneficial, mashallah. So first and foremost, let's start off with a hadith qudsi, and we'll get right into it, inshallah ta'ala. So the title frame in which we're going to talk about is one whose intention is not pure will deserve the hellfire. Purity of intention is essential in all deeds. One of the things our brother was just talking about was when he was talking to the woman who was a Jehovah's Witness. I found this to be very funny but sad, that we've discussed this before about the eternal fire, the hellfire. And we have talked about it so many times, how the son seeks refuge with Allah from the hellfire. So how much more should we? I really hope and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's allowing us all, he's accepting all of our fasts. I hope that we are being due diligent. I hope that we're trying to be on istiqamah. I hope that we're trying to be the best examples on what we can be all year round. And I hope that our behavior and our mannerism is such that people are gravitating to us, and they're asking us about this beautiful religion instead of them being standoffish. Our behavior should dictate what we learn, what we implement in our daily lives. you shouldn't be one way in the house and another way outside. And we should always worry about what people think about us. We can't have the mindset from Jaya, I don't care what nobody think about me. Oh, well. No. You should care. Because one, and I say this to my sisters in Islam who are valuable to us, a young girl might see you, might be interested in Islam, and she see you doing things that are clearly haram, and you're broadcasting them. So you should be mindful of that, especially just some of the stuff that come out of our sisters' mouths, and definitely brothers as well. Inshallah ta'ala, we have to remember that we are shuhada, we are witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to live up to that being witnesses, we have to be upright. We have to be real with ourselves and understand that each and every day of survival, because tomorrow is not promised to us, we need to try to be better than we was yesterday, inshallah ta'ala. So this hadith qudsi was narrated by Abu Huraira. He said, I heard Allah's messenger, Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, the first of the people whose case will be decided on the day of Yom Kiyamah will be a man who died as a martyr. He will be brought forth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him know about his blessings, which he had bestowed on him and the world. So the man will acknowledge them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, what did you do with them? He will say, I fought in your way until I died as a martyr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remark will be, you're lying. You are lying. You fought so that you could be called a brave warrior. You didn't fight for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, then orders will be passed against him, so he will be dragged along his face and cast into the hellfire. So the second man will be a man who studied the religious knowledge. Then he taught it to others, and he recited the Quran. He will be brought forth on Yom Kiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind him of his favors that he showered on him in the world. And he will admit them, having enjoined them in his life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, well, what did you do with them? He will reply, I acquired knowledge and I imparted it, and I also recited the Quran for your sake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will observe. He goes on to say, you have told a lie, for you got knowledge to be renowned as a scholar, and you recited the Quran to be marked as one who cites the Quran according to the rules with good tajweed. He said, then your orders will be passed against him, so he will be dragged to the hellfire as well and thrown in. So the third man, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made abundantly rich and granted him every kind of wealth, he will be brought to the judgment on Yom Kiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let him know about his gifts conferred upon him in the world, and he will recognize them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inquire, what did you do with them? He will say, I left no way in which you like, he said, I left no way in which you like money to be spent without spending it, subhanAllah, and without spending in it for your sake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you're lying. You did so to be described as a generous person in society. It means you got your reward from the world according to your intention. So he goes on to say, now you deserve nothing in the hereafter except hell. So orders will be passed against him, and he will be dragged into the hellfire on his face until he's hurled into the fire. So the footnote says about this particular beautiful Hadith Qudsi, it says that the purity of the intention, and we need to listen very carefully because this is important. Because sometimes we do things so we can be seen, and we know the best deeds are the ones that nobody can see, that you just go do them. You don't want nobody to know, you just go do them. I know in some cases people have to know because you don't know who to help if you don't get the information. I get that. But to go around and say, you know, I did such and such. You know, I did this the other day. You know, I did this. This goes against everything the seller stood for. So the purity of the intention is behind any deed. If you spend for show, there is no reward. Eventually, if one loves another for something worldly, this shall not count in the hereafter. But love for the sake of Allah is great, is a great virtue in the hereafter. Such love can be a Muslim love to learn from him or to take a companion for good deeds without any worldly considerations. Once there is something worldly, the intention is not pure. Now, it's amazing that it's put in that manner. The author of the book who brought the footnote, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. I mean, because the reality of this is my hero Umar ibn Khattab read it on him. The majority of the books that you read, you're going to hear his ethar. And it says that you will get exactly what you intend in this life. So if you make hijrah for a woman, that's what you're going to get. So I say that to say that to our sisters, and I love each and every one of you for the sake of Allah, we have an epidemic right now in our communities. And the epidemic is that a lot of sisters are being left basically struggling and stranded for whatever reason, whether their mates are locked up or they're doing life or, you know, or they just in and out of jail, deadbeat fathers. You know, once you have a child with somebody, whether you've been married or not, you know, if they don't want to be bothered, they don't want to take care of their children. Unfortunately, a lot of our men is like that. Unfortunately. It's sad. But the reality is, listening to this hadith is phenomenal because if we just love for the sake of Allah moderately, when we stay on the middle course, and no matter what, if you're just doing whatever you're doing, if you do it with Allah first in the front of you, meaning that I'm doing this fisabilillah, you can't go wrong. So as much as I know some of the sisters don't like the idea, it's an epidemic right now. A lot of sisters need help, and I think a lot of the brothers who could stand up and would stand up are intimidated by their wives because they think that it's going to cause a hardship if they was to take on another responsibility as meaning another wife. And I hate to say this, I'd rather one of our brothers in Islam marry the sister than for her to go out here and find a kafir and get married and leave Islam. And then that means that we didn't do all we could as a community, as a ummah, to kind of, you know, distract these kind of things and make them right. So this is just one example of if a sister truly love her sister for the sake of Allah, and you see a sister is in a bad situation, and you know that your family, your husband, can make her situation easier. And I'm not saying everybody can save everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But if we just take the time and think about other than ourselves, and really be honest with yourself and say, well, I'm being treated right, I'm being treated just, I know it's room for somebody else to get some help, but let me do it for Allah's sake. Because if you go in it with that, then the jealousy and the envy, all that's gone. Because you ain't doing it for her. You ain't doing it for him. You're doing it for Allah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accounts you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and you've been asked, did you do those things that you're supposed to do, those four things that will allow you to go open any door of gender. You can go in with ease, but you got to be willing to put the work in. And I say it for the brothers even stronger, because unfortunately our society and our Ummah, and I'm talking about our tri-state, I'm not even going to talk about the old Ummah, our tri-state has really, really, I didn't know it was that many sisters that was in a bad shape. And I know it's a lot of sisters saying, mashallah, I'm doing good, I'm fine, I could do this all by myself, because we have a lot of pride. That's that prideful stuff from Jahiliyyah. Nobody can say that it's not helpful to have some help, you know. And there's no way in the world, me growing up as a, being the only child, and my mother trying to play the position of mother and father, you're going to tell me it's not better to have both parents or a good step-parent, you know, to say the least. So I just wanted to suggest that, inshallah ta'ala. So let's open up this new book, The Fiqh of Fasting, the workbook. This is from our Sheikh, Salih al-Sheikh. He's one of the Kabir ulama. So the Book of Fasting contains 5 chapters. It's a very small book, mashallah. I got this from the Dawah Center, if anybody's familiar. It's a very reasonable book in terms of money. Good book, too. The first chapter, number one, this is an introductory matters concerning fasting. This comprises of a number of issues. The first issue is the definition of fasting and the clarification of its pillars. Its definition, siyam, which we know is the Arabic word for fasting, is to refrain from something. So in the Shah, in the Islamic law, that legislates Islam, it means to refrain from food, drink, and anything that breaks your fast, with the intention from the appearance of the true Fajr until the setting of the sun. Number two, its pillar from the religion, the definition of Siyam is clear, that it has 2 essential pillars, which are refraining from anything that breaks the fast, from the appearance of Fajr until setting of the sun. The proof for the pillar is the saying in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, 187, so now have sexual relations with them and seek that which Allah has ordained for you, offsprings, and eat and drink until the white thread of the night, the dawn, appears to you, and distinct from the black thread, darkness of night, then complete your fast until the nightfall. So, 1 second, due to an issue with Skype connection, premium members. Okay, it was a message from the online company, I'm sorry. So the meaning of the white thread and the black thread is the whiteness of the day and the darkness of the night. So the intention, the fasting person refrains from anything that breaks the fast with the intention that is worship for Allah, the mighty, majestic, through the intention, actions that are performed as worship are differentiated from other actions. So similar through the intention acts of worship are distinguished from one another, so that the fasting person intends to fast either the fast of Ramadan or other than it from the various types of fast. The proof of this particular pillar is the same. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the proof of this particular saying is when the Prophet Sallam said, Qamakallah Sallam, he said, actions are judged according to the intention, and every person will receive what he intended. And this is the hadith I was telling you about, Umar ibn Khattab, related on the Prophet Sallam. He said, the second issue is the ruling of fasting, Ramadan, and the proof for this. is at Lost for a Dollar, the Majestic and Mighty, he made it compulsory to fast during the month of Ramadan. He made it one of the five pillars of Islam. So we're all clear on that. So we go to Surah 2, Ayat 183, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the minimum less, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become righteous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say in Surah 2, Ayat 185, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the month of Ramadan in which revealed the Quran and the guidance for mankind and the clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion. So whoever of you cites the crescent of the night of the moon, Ramadan, he must fast that month. So based upon this particular hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar, he said that Abu Qasim Salam said, Islam is built upon five. He says Islam is built upon the testification, the shahadatain. He said the establishment of the salah, the establishment paying the zakah, the establishment of the fast of Ramadan, the establishment of making hajj for the one who is able at least once in their lifetime. And due to what is narrated by Taha ibn Ubaydullah, radiallahu anhu, that a Bedouin with unkept hair came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, Qawmuk Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of the fasting which Allah has made obligatory upon me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the month of Ramadan, the man further asked, is there any other fast upon me? And he sort of said, no, unless you perform the obligatory facts in terms of like the Monday and the Monday and Thursday fast. He said, this nation has unanimously agreed upon the obligation of fasting during the month of Ramadan, and that is one of the pillars of Islam, which is known from the religion of necessity, and whoever denies this is a disbeliever and apostate from the religion. So whoever, and it's unfortunate, I've seen someone make a statement similar to apostating from the religion based upon our fasting right now. Unfortunately, I've seen it on social media, and I just deleted the person. I didn't want to go into any type of argument, you know, with fasting, you know, mashallah. So you just want to, you know, you see the person is beyond ignorant and they just set in their own ways. But if any one of us reject this, it goes against everything the Salaf stood for, and you have left the religion that Allah has, you have left the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected for us and given us as a mercy to mankind. So, you know, you can't say, I don't feel like fasting, or I ain't with that, you know, I ain't with that fast and stuff. It's like somebody saying, I only follow the Quran. This is kufr. But the sheikh is going further than that. He's saying you've apostated. Apostating the religion is way worse than kufr. You can make a kufr act. You can do a kufr act and be brought, you know, brought back, you know, to the haq, and you'll be okay, you know, at the tawbah or whatever. But this is you outright out of the, this take you out of the remnant of Islam. You have to be careful of that. So therefore, and we don't want to sit with the people who are upon this. If somebody's saying, I don't think I should, I ain't got a fast, that don't make me Muslim, and stay dumb stuff like that, you give them the haq, you encourage them that what they're saying is ridiculous, is going against everything Allah and His Messenger has said, and how the companions understood it, and that's class. You keep it moving. Now, it's just like our brother told us earlier, you know, there's no reason in the world why we should be sitting around listening to the kuffar tell us about their kufr and shirk. You give them the haq and you keep it moving. So, therefore, the obligation of to fast during the month of Ramadan is established by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah and the consensus of the Muslims. And we all talked about that before. We was talking, we was reading Sheikh Rabir's book. No, I'm sorry, Sheikh Obeid. And he said that the proof for us is Quran was Sunnah and the Ijma. The Ijma is the consensus. Meaning what? The consensus of the scholar. That's how we establish our religion. Upon Quran was Sunnah and the Ijma. But the first Ijma, they're talking about the ulama, the fuqaha, which were during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, because we know there's nobody better than the companions. There's no Mefhab, there's no school of thought, not Maliki, not Shafi, not Hanbali, not no school of thought is better than the companions. Because the Prophet ﷺ said they were the best of people. And the Muslims agree upon this, the disbelief of one who rejects this. They have three types. The third issue is the type of fast. Types of fast. Fasting is divided into two categories. The obligatory one and the subligatory. The super is obligatory, and the obligatory one is the one, the fast that can be further divided into three categories: the fast of Ramadan, the fast of expiations, and the fast of a vow, like when you make a vow to something. This discussion here will revolve around all the fast of Ramadan and the superior. This discussion here will revolve around all the fast of Ramadan and the supergority fast for the other categories. Then they will be spoken about the appropriate place if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So the fourth issue is the excellence of fasting. The excellence of fasting is the fasting, the month of Ramadan, and the wisdom behind this legislation. He said it's the virtue. Upon the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Qomakallah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whoever stands in prayer on the night of divine decree out of true faith, awaiting its recompense, and his previous sins will be forgiven. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of true faith and awaiting his recompense, then his previous sins will be forgiven. And if I'm not mistaken, after we finish Ramadan, it's 6 days that we fast right after that, and that takes up for the year before, the year we end, and the year after, inshallah ta'ala. So remember them 6 days are going to be coming. You're going to hear us talking about it. Upon the authority of Abu Huraira, read it on him, he said that Ahmed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the five daily prayers, Juma to Juma, Ramadan to Ramadan, is an expiation for that which is between them, as long as the major sins are abandoned. These are some of the virtues of fasting and Ramadan, and its virtues are numerous. The wisdom behind the legislation of fasting, Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated fasting for numerous wisdoms and many benefits from them. Number one, to purify the soul, to cleanse it, to clean it from immoral traits, lowly mannerisms, because fasting restricts the passages through which the devil flows through the body of the human. So, number two, fasting, the abstention from this world and its lusts and its strengths and its desires for the hereafter and its bliss. So hopefully a lot of us has cut down a lot of TV. I hope we've tried to read more, especially more Quran. One of the ways I told you how we can finish the whole Quran, if you started the first day reading four pages of the Quran after every single salat, you will finish the whole Quran by the end of Ramadan. If you'd read four before you pray and four after, you would have read the Quran twice and Allah knows best. So, fasting involves, fasting arouses compassion towards the poor and gives a feeling of their pain because the fasting person tastes the pain of hunger and thirst. There are also other profound wisdoms and corpus of benefits. So we're going to stop there. Inshallah ta'ala. So just a reminder to myself first and foremost, we can't be shy when it comes to trying to give in this beautiful month of Ramadan. We have four musajids who are not being funded by the government. So don't you think that for one second. Masjid Mukbil, Masjid Bin Baz, Germantown Masjid, and Aqla Hadith. These are the four Salafi masjids, inshallah ta'ala. And they all take donations every Salat, every day. Even if you was given a dollar every Salat, we used to do that, $2, $3, whatever you can do, inshallah ta'ala. And please, most importantly, try to be kind to your neighbors. If there's any way you can get your son or your daughter to do something kind for an elderly person next door, a couple doors down, or go visit, if your mother's not here no more, your father's not here, maybe you want to go visit their old friends and see what you can do. And, you know, in terms of help, inshallah ta'ala. So, again, inshallah ta'ala, we have to make sure we constantly remember that this is when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did his most giving, and mostly at the last 10 days, for sure. We should try our best to give, because we don't have zakat set up in America for us, and it's a very ficky issue. So it's not like we don't know Ramadan comes around every month. I'm sorry, every year for a whole month. So we have 11 months to plan for it, and it shouldn't be a surprise. This is the time we should try to do what we can. You should be allowed to help the people. And I'm quite sure there's a lot of people that need help. I don't want to sound prejudiced, but I just feel like that we need to try to focus on trying to help our sisters, the ones that have children, inshallah ta'ala. I'm not being biased towards any brothers, but we definitely only got ourselves to take care of. I know we, some of us have kids, you know, depends on the ages or whatever, but I'm more compassionate when it comes to our sisters. Brothers, we should be able to take care of ourselves, and Allah knows best. Subhanakallah, hamdika, shalom, and stuff with too late. Anything I say is true and correct is from Allah, Azza wa Jal. Any mistakes I made is from me and the shaitan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.